1999 National Crisis, Bible Study Lesson Number 73, April 21st, 2009. We're in the Doctrine of Crime. We got down to Major Point 3 on the Doctrine of Crime, taken from Hosea Chapter 4, where we saw the results of the swearing of false oath by government leaders and officials, by the leaders of business, commerce, and finance and industry, and by the citizens generally in their daily relationship, and by lying slander, by spiritually revisionistic believers and unbelievers against the person of God, His holy character, His plan, against His saints, and the crime of murder is rampant in the land. We saw the doctrine of stealing, and we're dealing with the doctrine. So the doctrine of murder. Now we're dealing with the doctrine of crime. The doctrine of crime. Before we begin, let's pause for solemn prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit and you have absolute objectivity, teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank You for the opportunity to teach the Word of God. We thank You for all those who will study and benefit from this Bible study class. We thank You for the freedom that still exists within the United States of America that allows us to teach Your Word. We pray for possible You will give us the grace, mercy, and peace to continue to be able to study and teach. We thank You for having sustained this ministry. We pray You'll continue to do so. Supply our personal needs also. We ask You to give us the strength to deal with the health issues that I have, my wife has, and continue to be able to function in the ministry. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dedicating this class to all those who are positive, so they end up studying the Word of God. In Christ's name, amen. All right, Major Point 3, there are seven categories of crime within a temple, within the law of the divine establishment for temporal living. There are seven categories of crime within the laws of divine, within the laws of divine establishment for temporal living. Subpoint A: crimes against God's laws of creation, which causes a breakdown in the environment concerning plants, animals, soil, minerals, fish, birds, water, topography, air, etc. Crimes against God's laws of creation, which cause a breakdown in the environment concerning plants, animals, soils, minerals, fish, birds, water, topography, air, etc. Genesis 1:21. Listen, 1:1-25. Listen carefully to what I got to say here. Reading from the New American Standard. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. They belong to God. In the beginning, not up to eternity, but in the beginning of the creation of the universe as we know it today. In the, literally, the doctrinal translation we've given you many times, in the beginning, which was without beginning, God, Elohim in the Hebrew, created, that is, manufactured out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. Now, immediately we see that there is a void here, that there is a gap here. In verse 1, between heavens and earth, because the angelic world had been created prior to the creation of the earth, which is proven from the book of Job, we've dealt with many times. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. This is the gap that occurred in history. Following the original angelic world and the destruction of the angelic world, which we've also dealt with. This is not, as many theologians, including people that are friends of mine, teach. I'm totally convinced they're wrong here, but this is not mean I part company with them over, because they're fundamental evangelical followers of the Word of God. But it says, the earth became, and the Hebrew means became. It's used at construction in Genesis 19:26. we have here the condition of the earth following the whole concept of angelic rebellion. As Dr. C.I. Schofield taught, as many others taught, as I have held to for a long time. Not because they taught it, but because I believe it's in the Word of God. We're going to have the restoration of the earth. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were one day. 24-hour day. This is not the sun. The sun is already, all of these are in existence here. This is, God is allowing light to shine upon the earth. A fixed light source is now beginning to appear. On the earth is a rotating earth passed through a day-night cycle, a 24-hour period. God separated light from darkness, the sky from water. In verse 7, from the vapor around it, and the restoration of the earth to make it compatible for man to live upon it, habitable for man to live upon it. Separate the land from the seas in verse 9. When the spatial separation was completed in verse 9, God pronounced everything good in verse 10. In the restoration to prepare the earth for man. And God called the light darkness, and the day and darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning one day. And then God, this is the American Standard Translation. Then God said, let there be an expansion in the mist of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. That was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. The waters which were above the expanse, God says, suspended a vast body of water and vapor, formed over the earth, make a canopy that caused conditions on the earth to resemble those inside a greenhouse. This undoubtedly was used by God to play a role in the longevity of man in Genesis chapter 5, and the tremendous amount of water involved in the worldwide flood of Genesis chapter 6 to 9. And God called the expanse heaven, there was evening, there was morning, the second day. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered to one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. See, the world had been covered by frozen ice following the fall of Lucifer and the angelic revolution that took place upon the earth, and is described in Isaiah and Ezekiel. And limited amounts of information there, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. The ice that covered the earth and left the glacier forms that we have, such as Mount Rainier, Mount Hood, Mount Baker, etc., all that, as God separated the waters, these ice began to melt in these areas. And as he brings about restoration in Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 to 26, we see also a description related to the pre-Adamic world. In Jeremiah 4, 23 to 26, in the chaos of pre-Adamic world, in the chaos that came out of the angelic world there, where we read, from the King James Translation, I beheld the earth, and though it was without form and void, and heavens, and they had no light. It was the exact same as it had been, the same construct as found in Genesis 1-2, describing the condition of the earth as a result of judgment. Verse 24 says, I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. And I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds in the heavens were fled. Alright. You beheld the mountains, they tremble, earthquakes, and the hills move slightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. There was nothing. Adam had not yet been created, and the entire pre-Adamic world had been removed in the destruction of the earth for habitable life under the judgment that God brought upon the original fall of Satan. And all the birds of the heavens were fled. Birds, by the way, are used in scripture typology for angelic creatures. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. Though it had been fruitful once, it was now a total wilderness. All the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger. God had overthrown the primal order found in Genesis 1:1. And if you doubt there was primal order in Genesis 1:1, look at Isaiah 24:1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth it abroad, the inhabitants thereof. God maketh the world waste. He turneth everything upside down. This was a judgment that came on the original creation, the pre-Adamic creation. Though it was not man as we know man, there was no Adam before Adam. There was no such thing as evolution. God did not create an evolving species concept, evolutionary idea at all. Isaiah 45:18, though, gives us a contrast with this. In Isaiah 45:18, we read, "For thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, and the Lord, there is none else." The original earth was created to be inhabited. Clearly, these verses indicate that the earth has undergone a cataclysmic change as a result of divine judgment. The face of the earth bears everywhere the marks of such a catastrophe. There are now warning animations which connected with the previous testing and fall of angels, Ezekiel 28:12-15, Isaiah 14:9-14. The passage goes far beyond the kings of Tyre and Babylon and what they describe and what they do. Now, in God, verse 10 of Genesis 1, and God called the dry land earth, and gathered of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, yielding seed, and fruit trees, bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them in the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, and plant, yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seeds in them were up to their kind, and God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning was the third day, and God said, "Let there be lights and expanse of the heavens to separate the day from night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights to expanse the heavens to give light to the earth." It was so. God made the great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. Now, we do not have Bara here manufacturing something out of nothing. But we have Asa in what God is doing at this point of time, which means he is manufacturing something out of something. He is shaping something differently. The after the kind, beginning in verse 11, are fixed boundaries beyond which reproduction variations cannot go, but it is impossible to know where the kind is to be equal. Equated with families generally or some other category of biological classification. For example, dogs can mutate within dogs. Seeds can be mutated within seeds, and naturally they don't mutate, though. The seeds don't, and things like this, but God began to set up boundaries, though, that man cannot get outside of, even with their experimentation. And none of which ever happened normally. I should say man's experimentation is always trying to go beyond the boundaries of God. Again, this is an attempt. Psalm 2 speaks of a man attempting to break the boundaries of God. This is man seeks space travel to break the boundaries that God limited us to this earth by gravity. Why does man want to move out into space? It's simple, to avoid the judgment of God on the earth. Now, God is in control of everything. He brings about the first of all the plant life that comes upon the face of the earth. And God placed him... Place back. I have to take these phone calls, particularly right now, because my wife's going through a whole bunch of more medical testing and everything these days. That's why I have to keep a phone beside me, because she's not here to take these calls. All right, let me pick up and read for you with verses 14-19. We saw the light sources is coming in through that God is bringing the sun, the moon, the stars, and the lion with things. Verse 20, then God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens, and God created the great sea monsters, every living creature that moves, with which the water swarmed after their kind, every winged bird after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters of the sea, and let birds multiply on the earth. By the way, it's interesting, I want to bring something to your attention here. God has ordered these creatures that he has created to fill the waters in the seas, that fowls multiply in the earth. The issue here is that the sea life was to be very heavy, and was in the concept of according to what it could handle. It was to be worldwide in the various in the waters and things that God was creating and bringing about in the original restoration of this earth down there. We talked today about out fishing and running out of the fish and things, or pollutions and things we're doing. Well, this is part of man in his own intelligence being too smart to be smart, as we will see in just a few minutes, as to what we're dealing with here in this issue down there. God is responsible. God gave a command. And God put all the necessary life that was there. Now, God blessed them and multiplied and filled the waters of the sea and let birds multiply on the earth. Verse 23, and there was the evening, and there was the morning of the fifth day. And then God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after kind, cattle, creeping things, and beasts of the earth after kind. It was so, and God made the beasts of the earth after kind, the cattle after kind, everything that creeps on the earth after its kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man our own image, according to our own likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over the earth, and over all the creeping things that creeps upon the earth. And God created man his own image, in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. Now we point out to you from Colossians chapter 1 that the original pact is between God and God the Father and God the Son, where it says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The firstborn of every creature means that he is the heir of all things. He has the rights of firstborn. It was decreed that God's pact was made with Christ, God the Son, that we call the eternal covenant of glorification, which the covenant of grace, our salvation, comes out of, as described in Hebrews chapter 13. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities of power, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Jesus Christ, God, the person of Jesus Christ, who is God the Son, not the human nature, but the divine nature. In his divine nature, God the Son is the creator, is the actual executioner of creation. So it's so clear to here. The Father designed the plan. The Son participates in the role here, utilizing the power of the Spirit, as we see from Revelation, Genesis chapter 2, and from other passages, chapter 1, verse 2, and some other passages. Creation was a joint work of the Godhead, but it made clear the Son's role in it, so no one could doubt that the Son is eternal and he was here before it all happened. Now the pact was made with the Son. When God said, let us make man our image, he was speaking of God the Son. It's human nature, not his divine nature, because he's eternal. The Father, we have Elohim here, Father, Son, and Spirit, all seen in the plural pronoun us. Let us, Father, Son, and Spirit, make man in our image, the image of the triune Godhead. Man was created trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. It's Jesus Christ that came in the likeness of God. The image, the likeness, interchangeable terms, indicating that man was created in natural and moral likeness to God. When he sinned, Adam lost it. But the Son never sinned, so the Son held on to it when he came as the God-man. In hypostatic union, his divine nature, he could not sin. His human nature, he chose not to sin and did not sin. There's the great debate, could he have sinned in his human nature? Well, he's only one person. He's not two people. He's one God. He was tested fully and completely in his human nature. Sometimes we go beyond what Scripture will allow us to comprehend and understand. But God made the pact, the Father and the Son have a pact in which the Son is in charge of creation. He has authority over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle, over all the earth and over all the creeping things on the earth. Now man was told, and God blessed him in verse 28 and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over everything that is found on the face of the earth." Then God said, "Then behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and all and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, and it shall be food for you. And every beast of the earth, and every bird of the sky, and everything that moves on the earth which has life, I have given a green plant for food." It was so. And God also saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. And the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. And by the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from his work which he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now, God didn't have to rest as we rest. It means he ceased and desisted from creation work. No awareness is implied. Now, beginning in verse 3, running down through chapter 2, verse 3, we have exactly 7 24-hour days. Now, God worked and accomplished what he was to do and do so. Now, man was told, the King James translation uses the translation, replenish the earth in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." The New American Standard prefers the translation, "fill the earth," which is what is used by those who would argue the Hebrew meaning of the word. Now, the Hebrew word that we have here is mala, M-A-L-A. I'm sorry, M-A-L-E, Malay. And it's a primitive root word meaning to fill, to be full, to accomplish, to confirm, to consecrate, to gather together, to presume, to replenish. It clearly means replenishing. Dr. Riley argues it cannot be used for replenish. He is absolutely incorrect, and he knows that. It can be used for that. I'm not calling him out a lot. I'm just saying he's incorrect in his argument of it. The word cannot be used to support the idea of refilling the earth after destruction of the earlier civilization, as some theories hold, he says. He placed himself as a Greek scholar above William Kelly and above many other, a Hebrew scholar above many others who see it entirely different. Kelly's in the, William Kelly's in the beginning is one of the finest works explaining the restoration concept and what was going on and what God was doing from the original Hebrew. And there are many others that are out there also on the subject. But what we want you to understand here is not that, but that God is the source of all creation here. Everything falls under him. The principle that we must see here immediately is the violation of these laws by man simply expand the impact of the curse and cause life to be less pleasant for those in time. The violation of these laws by man simply expands the impact of the curse and causes life to be less pleasant for those in time. The second principle, because these laws are equal and not inferior to national law, then governments can recognize them only in their proper relationship to all other branches of temporal establishment laws of God, because the curse prevents a utopia upon the earth. Understand what I'm saying? Today we have a massive push of environmental, think green, and all these things that they're going to do. They talk about man destroying the earth. Well, they deny then that God is in control of history, that Jesus Christ made a pact with the Father, that he is the sustainer of all things, that there is absolutely nothing going to happen to bring this earth to a close, because he has a 1,000-year reign over this earth yet to go. Following the 7 years of tribulation, he will return to this earth. The earth was created for his pleasure. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Revelation 4, 11. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything consists by the blessings of Jesus Christ. God is the sustainer of life. All things are through him. Man cannot destroy the earth. Man can make the environment worse by committing crimes against the environment. There's a difference. Romans 11:36 says, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. God the Father has decreed in his decreative will everything that will allow to occur. Now many things occur through his permissive will. We've taught this. At a certain point, God intervenes and the overruling will of God takes place. Psalm 76:10. Call the wickedness of man to praise him, although he prevents, he intervenes in. We have to decide if God is in control or if he has abrogated all of his authority, and he has not abrogated all of his authority. This is the thing you have to ask yourself. Is he allowing things to play its way out? Yes. But Psalm 103:19 says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is in control of history. The need for God to govern the material world must be understood. If the object were true for one moment, the world designed and fixed certain laws, which men term the laws of nature, he then would adjure that he would leave the world to the fortune, the outworking of these laws. In such a case, we would have a world over which there was no intelligent presiding governor, a world controlling by nothing more important than impersonal laws. This is the kind of idea that comes out of the fanaticism of gross materialism and pagan and humanistic atheism. Now, we must not, under any circumstances, recognize and accept such pagan ideas about God. Well, the word pagan has taken on a very strange connotation. A pagan is said to be by the American Heritage Dictionary defines a pagan as a person who is not a Christian, Muslim, or Jew, therefore heathen. One who has no religion. Formerly any non-Christian. It's interesting then that Muslims and Jews and unsaved Jews are classified with Christians in the term of being non-quote pagan. But yet, the word originally meant a non-Christian, and under the principles of the Word of God, therefore a non-born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And the concept has changed in its claim to it. Now, the word pagan came into the Middle English from the late Latin word paganus, P-A-G-A-N-U-S, meaning civilian. I'm still reading from the dictionary there, not a soldier of Christ, coming from the Latin, a paganus, P-A-G-A-N-U-S, country dweller, from pagus, P-A-G-U-S, village or country. A interesting concept is we have changed the literal meaning of the word today as we define it and define what it is. Down there, pag, P-A-G, means to fasten, to lengthen. This is the prefix. From the pack, P-A-K in the Germanic, from fogum, F-O-G-J-A-N, meaning to join, in the Old English, fagan, F-E-G-A-N, to fit closely together. Now, pag is also as a prefix, is Nasalize form of PANG, P-A-N-G, and a genetic fangiz, F-A-N-G-I-Z, meaning to seizure in. From the Old English fang, F-A-N-G, or fang, F-A-N-G, meaning to plunder. Booty. Fang comes from, is connected to the Dutch vang, of course that's Low German. Dutch is actually Low German, Deutsch, where it comes from, V-A-N-G. The rope for fastening a sail. In the Latin, panger, P-A-N-G-E-R, means to fasten. The root form, pack, meaning peace or binding together. So what we have here in the pagan concept of things down there then is the lengthening grade form of pag, P-A-G, i.e. into a Latin pagus, is a boundary staked out of ground, district, village, or country. The Latin pagan, pagina, P-A-G-I-N-A, trellis to which a row of vines is fixed, hence by metaphor, column of writing. Now, the whole concept of the pagan then is one who is outside the sphere of where you are. Outside your village or your relationship, and I like the relationship back to the word there, and the principal point in there that's i.e., for the pagan, a civilian, not a soldier of Christ. I'm sorry, I hope that the noise does not get too bad here at all down there. We've got a beautiful day, and I've suddenly got the neighbor's child running back and forth outside our window while we're going to be teaching. Sorry, the tape ran out the end with everything going on here and trying to teach the class. God will give us all kinds of interruptions and things that allow them to happen. He doesn't give them to us to test our patience and to test your patience and your faithfulness to concentrate on the study of the Word of God. You have to ask yourself, did God create and establish everything? If natural law exists, it exists by the decree of God. God has set these things into purpose to what He is doing. Romans 11:36 is very strong. It says, for of Him, through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God has not abandoned what He is doing. Psalm 33:11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. Isaiah 46:9-10, how many times you heard me quote them? Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, the things that I have not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The principal concept we have to stand upon, O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all. God is in control. All these things are according to His own fixed counsel by the decretive will of God, but God has given permissive wills to let man function in, and man is out there functioning in it, but God has not abrogated His rights and authority in relationship to that at all. And this is what we have to do. What did Jesus Christ say? The wind bloweth where it listeth. The word he in the Greek means pleases, which means that man can neither harness nor hinder the wind in the direction of where it's going. Man cannot stop a hurricane from coming ashore. Man cannot stop a tornado. If there was nothing more than the laws of nature regulating the wind, then perhaps tomorrow there may come a terrific tornado and sweep everything off the face of the surface of the earth completely, and there would be no more man. Hebrews 1:3 says He is upholding all things by the word of His power. Jesus Christ is upholding all things today. Christ made the pact with the Father. God the Son made the pact with the Father, who being the brightness of His glory, the expressed image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now, subpoint B, crimes against God's laws for the human body are the personal abuse of our own body. Genesis 2:7-8, God is the creator of our bodies. As believers, we find 1 Corinthians 6:18. flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So there can be sins against the body. Principle, the personal abuse of your own body simply causes you to reap the results, sickness, weakness, discomfort, which is the natural results of your own actions, and can of course lead to physical death. C, crimes against God's laws for the human soul are a violation of the status for good mental health and psychological life. God breathed into us, Genesis 2, 7a. He creates, in 2, 7a, he created the body for Adam. I forgot to read that when I spoke about against the body. All right, 2, 7a there, I got distracted outside, I'm sorry. Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. Right, God is the source of the human body. He created man out of it, and therefore we have to deal with it accordingly, and we can sin against the body. Then secondly, it breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives, is plural in Hebrew, and he became a living soul. Biological life. The moment your mother's ovum, the egg, was fertilized by the male sperm of the father, God imputed biological life. Immediately imputed biological life. Then the soul format began to grow, into which God imputed psychological life. Psychological life did not exist, according to best I can determine scripture, till the fetus came out of the womb, but God considers all life to be one person, so life began at the moment of conception. If a child is stillborn, or if a child dies of miscarriage or abortion, as I can determine, since God has decreed life in the moment of biological life, and God imputes a human soul to them, just like a child dies before the age of accountability, and God imputes a human spirit to that child and takes them to heaven. The same principle can work of imputing both the psychological life to the human soul format, completing it, and those who die in the womb. We try to limit the sovereignty of God through human knowledge, ever learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth. And what we're doing, God is in control, but we can commit. We can damage our soul's psychologically disorders. Principle, only through the Word of God can sound mental health exist under all conditions. Only through the Word of God can sound mental health exist under all conditions. God is the one who produces the mental health through the Word of God. All human viewpoint is distorted. It opens the door for demon viewpoint to come in. We're under the great testing in the world in which we live today. All around us, because the Word of God is not respected, because even the laws of divine establishment for temporal living are not accepted, are not respected. The friend of mine, a letter that he wrote home during World War II to his parents at the end of the war, pointed out that even though we succeeded in winning the war, it was important to win the war. He was an officer. Active duty, involved in an invasion, stated that the Western civilization, as we knew it, I'm paraphrasing now, Western culture, the whole thing was going to be changed forever. He was right. As we rebuilt Europe at the end of World War II, and even though the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached through Europe, just like in the United States of America, intellectualism, which had already swept Europe before, continued to sweep with the ideas that there is no God, human viewpoint at a higher level. And the God and the recognition of the God of the Bible as the Word of God, the divine revelation of God, and all was changed. However, God used the war magnificently to reach people for Jesus Christ. In this country, we had great revival in the camps. A friend of mine a number of years ago gave me a book called Christ in the Camps. It talked about the great evangelistic outreach ministry in the Confederate Army during the war between the states. The book was written by one of the chaplains in there, and is a very famous book on the subject. Well, my friend Corny Van de Bregen, a Marine officer, in his letters from the Leatherneck, letters that he wrote home in World War II, describes in great detail the outreach of God and the saving of souls that broke out on the island of Guam. There's one island where he was stationed at there in the South Pacific. Well, Central Pacific, I should say. And then as God used the war to bring people to Christ. We have to recognize that crimes against psychological order exist at all times. Man is ever learning, but never coming to a knowledge of truth. The orders that were handed down by Nebuchadnezzar to worship no one but him. Scripture says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, him only shalt thou serve." But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to follow. The order was put out by Darius the Mede that Daniel refused to follow. Sanhedrin handed down the rules to Peter, and Peter refused to follow. Instead, Peter said, "Obey God rather than man." These are examples to tell us that the psychological warfare is out there. Will you denounce the God that you believe in to accommodate yourselves to the desires of culture and society and the power of man over things? We're all familiar with all of the charges and countercharges related to the interrogation of prisoners in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's interesting today that they're acknowledging publicly that much of this was built on the profile of what was done in a book that I had read many years ago. I don't have the book anymore. I know the man that got it from me, but don't, I have no contact with him. But I first read the book many, many years ago called Brainwashed. Brainwashed dealt with the Red Chinese torture of American prisoners in Manchuria that were captured in Korea during the Korean War, which I call the Korean Red Chinese War. As much of it was against the Red Chinese. The brainwashed techniques of things. Children are brainwashed in schools every day through psychological warfare to do damage to them. Crimes are committed against the minds of little children every day when they go to school, and the public school systems of America tell them, "These are not crimes against our country, these are crimes against God." When they stand up and say, "God did, in the beginning, God did not create." Well, they may not use those words, but that's what they mean when they talk about primordial soup and all these things. Blasphemous garbage that comes out of it. Terrible concepts that people breathe and believe that are so terrible. And their soul bleeds that literally, because souls can't bleed, but that's an idiom. To represent the wounds upon their soul, and they put scar tissue upon their soul, and they harden their heart. All right, the principle there through the Word of God can sound mental health be produced and exist under all conditions. Principle, sound mental health is based on living by faith in the Word of God, Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Point D, crimes against personal life for the violation of God's laws for individuality. Crimes against personal life for violation of God's laws, divine laws of establishment for individuality, also called personal freedom. In Genesis 1:26-27. Genesis 1:26-27. And God said, "Let us make man our image according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle of all the earth, and over every creeping thing creature upon the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, created him. Alright, this included volition. So we have subpoint one. This includes the violation of someone's volition. Genesis 2:16 says, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. Man was given volition by God to choose. Joshua 24, Joshua laid down the challenge when he says to them, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Putting in its proper context, verses 14 and 15, and therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the God which your father served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, where the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites, whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Two, this includes the violation of, okay, when you coerce someone's volition, you're wrong. We can share truth with them, but we cannot force anyone to believe or accept like we have. It's just like, be tenderhearted, forgiving others, even also as Christ has forgiven you. The concept of forgiving believers. You can forgive another believer, but you cannot make that believer forgive you for what they think you have done to them. All the verses can be quoting on love the brethren and all the rest, and they'll just assume you never were saved if they have to defend their own soul. It's amazing. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he asked me if there a problem existed between me and a certain person that I've known for many, many years who, in the ministry. And I said, not on my behalf. Nobody can say that I have challenged him and condemned his work. In fact, I've encouraged people related to it, and I can prove that, but I'll just explain something to him. I said, whatever that man thinks about me is his problem, not mine. It'll all be sent out to judgment seat of Christ. Arrogantly, we all separate and draw the barriers of what we think. Look down others. Luke 6, 33 to 37 says, and if you do good to them which do good to you, why, thank you, have you. For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to them to whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, and hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the highest, for he is the kind and the unkind, and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall not be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured unto you. Matthew 7 says, judge not that ye be not judged. I heard someone quote that verse immediately afterwards in the course of discussion of someone else immediately began to judge people and accuse them of always trying to one-up everything. Judge not that you be not judged, for what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and what measure you met, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, because it is not the beam that is in thine own eye? How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. We have to learn not to violate the volition of someone else. Point two, this includes the violation of someone's privacy, as the body makes private the thoughts of the soul. God created the body and put the soul and spirit inside of it. The doctrine of privacy, I see that thrown all out of the way all the time now. There's a whole school of teaching on violating the privacy of other people in the name of intervention, forced interventions upon others. We're told if we see a brother in danger, we're to pray for him and then try to help him. Not to go to him and batter him up against the wall. Three, this includes the violation of someone's personal responsibility to make good decisions. Genesis 2:16, Adam was given the freedom to choose. we don't make decisions for other people. We get, unless they're children under your authority or someone in a job situation, something where you have authority like that, don't misunderstand me. But in a normal way of life, you can't force people to do it your way. You can disagree with them, but you can't force them. Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded a man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. He was free to go and eat. If he wanted to eat apples, oranges, pears, plums, bananas, cherries, all the different fruits found in the tree, tomatoes, whatever may be there, what he was free to eat of, or vegetables, whatever they were, he could eat. He had the choice of them. This includes the right to benefit from their good decisions through property rights, which must not be violated. Every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. There are people who tell me you shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. We have taken over under legal plunder today. We're very busy plundering the souls of all kinds of people. In America today, by taking away their rights to do things, they've taken all kinds of ingredients out of foods that you can't use anymore in the so-called anti-fat war. No, we can't do these things. We got to stop this. People are getting too obese, so therefore we got to stop them from being able to buy this type of shortening or whatever it may be. Can't let them do it. Stop them. Can't let them eat hamburgers with too much fat in them. Can't let them eat french fries. My wife's company has now taken all fried foods off the menu. So they're letting people have the choice between buying fried foods. No more fish and chips down there. Can't have fish and chips, that's fried food. No fried potatoes with anything. All kind of stuff like that. These things happen. People lose the rights and the freedoms to what they're doing, to what their choices are. And America's becoming more and more every day. And eventually, sometimes it's through putting so-called taxes, or higher taxes on certain things that they don't want you to accept, whether you should or shouldn't do the things, though God does not give them the right to create a dictatorship. This is a part of the whole moral depravity scene that I've told you, generously, I've talked to you for years. Those of you who have been studying under me for many years down there. Seen in Romans chapter 2. Just like the Pharisees of religious depravity. Oh, you've got to do this, that, and the other. America today is not the America I was born to. Much of our freedom has totally disappeared within the country, and with it the choice of what you could do. Franklin Roosevelt took away the private ownership of gold. And then finally they restored the right of people to own gold, but they condemn and mock anybody that would want to own gold, yet the rich own gold. They want to take away the right to keep and bear arms in this country. And all kinds of things that they want to rob you of your freedom of choice in. The idea, my wife, I used to buy every once in a while a muffin downtown that I enjoy, but now it's so dry and falls apart I don't buy it every once in a while for breakfast with a cup of coffee when I haven't anything to eat and I'm downtown running errands for the ministry or something or related to my wife and things, but I don't want to buy them because they're dry and collapse and disintegrate in my hand because they won't use the right kind of shortenings anymore. My wife has failed to be able to make biscuits the way she made the finest biscuits in the world, soft and fluffy. And we're sure it's based on the kind of shortening that she can buy now and the kind of buttermilk that's available to her. But life is changing. Rights are being violated. Property rights are being violated. But people have the volition of privacy to make their own decisions. No one should have the right to tell you what you can or cannot eat out of normal foodstuffs and things. Subpoint 3, this includes the violation of someone's personal responsibility to make good decisions, as verse 16 says. Subpoint 4. This includes the right to benefit from good decisions through property rights, which will not be violated. God put all the fruits in the garden. He put the gold and the delium, which represents all kind of tree risings and things of value like that, in the garden. All these things are there of value. that you could benefit, or on the rivers, I should say, that you could go out and find, and the precious gems and all were there. He put all the fruits and vegetables in the garden for Adam to choose from. He gave Adam property rights. Property rights are being destroyed in America. People are being told you can't build there because it's a quote wetland. You can't do that. You can't go over so high. You can't do all these different things. People are making decisions for other people in a totalitarian dictatorship concept by the mass of the people in power, the little group who gets the power, making decisions for everybody. People have moved into areas. I remember a number of years ago, a big battle out here in King County, which is the county of Seattle's in there. There was a man and his wife had bought property back in the 1930s and started a pig farm. Well, eventually all this area developed up around there. And then the city, the county came and challenged them over their pig farm. Eventually took all the property away from them. Put the son in jail for a little while for violating, for trying to drive the people off and prevent them from seizing the stuff in his mother's place and things like that, plowed up, destroyed buildings and stuff. I remember the whole story. Anyway, I know they plowed up a lot of what they call garbage and junk, hauled off, charged the people for it and all the rest of it. You hear about these things elsewhere. The battle that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they lost back in New England last year, or year before last, over whether a city can seize people's private property for some generalized idea of urban renewal and improvement, forcing the people to sell what belongs to them without right to do so, and without what could, under principle, and then turning around often and not using the property what it was, but selling it to somebody else and making a property, as has happened in this area out here a number of times over projects that got started and were never completed. All these things are crimes against God, though they are not crimes against America. 7.5 is a crime to attempt to violate the accountability of a person for their own actions apart from God's standard of grace righteousness, Genesis 2:17. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. Chapter 3:1-17. So the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, You shall not surely die. For God hath known that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the trees to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. The eyes of both were open and knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called Adam and said to him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and hid myself. He said, Who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I'd eat. And the Lord God said to the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Then we have the judgment of God in verses 14 and 19. We won't read them. You've read it before. But God is in control of history. God is in control of justice. Now, you may have to make a decision to fire someone who steals from your company or doesn't do his job and things like that. That's one thing. Our parents to correct their children all. But in general, other people are not accountable to us. There's a whole movement in Christianity to make people accountable to each other, not accountable to Jesus Christ. And as though God's, where did God appoint them over them? They take the verse in Matthew 28, make disciples of all people. Jesus Christ says, Truly you are my disciples if you continue in my word. Discipleship is the following of the word of God, not forcing the polity taboos of people upon them. And it works two different ways. I have seen people who have bought into the whole new modern religious concept with all the new modern music and all the rest, who mock and make fun of people who want to hold on to the old music. Well, they'll give lip service and say, It's okay for you to sing the old song, but they let you know you're not going to sing them around them, because they're the ones that's going to pick the music, and the music's not going to be that. If it is, it's going to be very little of it. And they say you're a legalist because you want to go back. You're looking backwards because you want to stay with the old song. the old doctrinal hymns of the faith or something like that. Is it what they're denying? You see, they have the right to pick what they want to pick and sing what they want to sing. I've got to give them the freedom to do that. I don't have to give them the freedom if they put me on the spot to tell them that I agree with what they're doing. Because I think the old doctrinal hymns are hymns that will help carry you in times of trouble. They will give peace to the soul. As you think on words that are based on the teachings of the Word of God, clapping your hands and singing little children's choruses over and over again are not going to give you much when the doctor says you got cancer and you got 3 days or 3 weeks or 3 months to live. But you might find peace in singing some of the songs of faith that relate things. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. In the sweet by and by. I challenge you to remember something. Our Christian destiny is not this world. Our Christian destiny is beyond this world, and greater things are out there for us than what exists in this world. Principle of the rights of personal freedom can be violated through personal crime or the collective crime of government because of the curse of ramifications. Any crimes against God's laws of marriage are a violation by the husband or the wife of the institution of marriage. Genesis 2, 23 and 24. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife and they shall be one flesh." Principal crimes against marriage can also be accomplished under the curse by national law that interferes with or discourages the institution of marriage. F, crimes can be carried out against God's laws for family living life by violating them through acts of commission or omission related to God's laws of family life responsibility by the children, by the father, the mother, or the children. Genesis 4:1, this goes along with Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Genesis 4:1, where life comes from God and begins there, our time is up. The principle before we close, crimes against the family can also occur by the national interference in the areas of family life and responsibility. We'll pick up and look at these at marriage and family in the beginning of our next class. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. Your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. It will not return void, but accomplish all you designed it for. Sanctified and blessed, we ask you. I am the Lord and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we pray. Said even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.